ready to interrupt you.
Ah, that's good, that's good. Ready to interrupt in 3, 2, 1. Welcome along to the Retro Asylum. Chris is trying to interrupt me here, but it's not going to work, Chris. It's not going to work. We are
faking you out.
Actually, sorry, I meant Matt. Matt was trying to interrupt me there. It's Steve and Matt here, and we are ready for a Game Club episode, aren't we, Matt?
Yeah, where's Chris, Steve, and Matt?
I don't know. I mean, they just handed us the reins and said we should try to actually make a Game Club episode for once, but we'll see how we do.
It's a weird cognitive dissonance when you're addressing someone who you know is not the person you're addressing.
True.
It's playing with my brain.
Mm. So listen, yeah, we're just going to switch back. It's me, it's Mass, and it's Chris. This is taxing Chris's little brain too much. He's going to overheat. So let's just switch back to our own selves, and we'll explain why we're Matt and Steve today in a little while. Then.
Yes.
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 So Chris,
Game Club time, Mads.
Before we start, how have you been? What have you been doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, I've been good. I've been really enjoying Soccer Kid. We're right in the middle of the Soccer Kid month, aren't we, of October. And I think we've both been really, we'll obviously keep our powder dry to some extent, but we've both been really surprised at just how playable Soccer Kid has turned out to be.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Yeah, really, really enjoying it. And just shows when you do give some of these games that we tried and maybe dismissed back in the day a little bit of airtime, there's fun to be had. And I've certainly enjoyed Soccer Kid.
A slow, thoughtful platformer, which can be quite good.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is, yeah, you just edge across the screen, don't
yes.
you? Just waiting to see what it's gonna throw at you until you memorize the levels.
Mm.
But I finished a lot of games recently, actually. Last time we were speaking, I was telling you about the lamentable, in my humble opinion, Castlevania 2.
Yep.
I finished that practically with my eyes closed, other than the fact of reading a guide as to tell me where to go and what to do.
Mm.
The combat was... Yeah, enough said about Castlevania 2, I think, last time. Finished that. So I'm right up to date with the community playthrough.
Well then.
So just over my shoulder there, you're probably just out of view for you, is the Super Nintendo.
And what are we playing now? Link to the Past?
Link to the Past
Link
is
to the past.
In November.
That's going
to
be good.
So we haven't started that yet.
Okay.
So we got Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy 3, and then, at the end of that the next block, we're probably going to do Castlevania, the arcade game. Is it called Haunted Castle?
I never knew that it even was an arcade game. So,
yeah, it's meant to be pretty brutal,
okay.
I think. Yeah, meant to make ghosts and goblins look very, very easy. So there's... Yeah, exactly. So there's Haunted Castle, and I think we're going to do Castlevania, the Adventure, you know, the first Game Boy game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've heard that's really short. So it was my idea, actually, to mop up the arcade game and the Game Boy game in 1 month.
Okay.
And then before we start the next block. So we've got three, probably widely regarded as three of the greatest games of all time, coming up for November, December and January.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good.
A winter of contempt, mate.
Mm. But doing something as big as Link to the Past in a month would be quite a feat, for me at least.
It's not that long a game, is it? I don't think.
I've only finished it once. It took me... it was on original hardware. It took me quite a while, I seem to recall. But I'm sure, having played it before, I could do it quite quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And obviously we're playing Dead Space 2, a little bit of Halloween horror fun over on Playthrough.
Yes.
So that's been fun. Got to there. I think we're both at the first milestone point on that, aren't we?
Yes,
and,
indeed.
Yeah, a little bit of spooky goings on for October.
Yep, it's all good.
What about you? What have you been up to?
So retro gaming wise, only Soccer Kid actually, because I have been busy playing Dead Space 2 and getting to the
Dead Space 1
and Dead Space 1, getting to the staging point that we've decided on Dead Space 2, and I've started playing Dead Space 1 from the beginning again. I've never finished it before, and now I'm further in than I've ever been before. I'm in chapter 6, I think, having good fun and listening to your pilot episodes on it while I'm playing it. So that's been really good. I don't agree with everything you say. For example, I actually quite like the Syrgy sections, but apart from that, I think I agree with most of the stuff you say. But I think I may have broken the game.
Those Syrgy sections just make me twitch a little bit.
I think I may have broken the game, though, but let's talk about that on playthrough the next time around instead.
Yeah, that's a little teaser for playthrough. I like it. Yes, I like what you did there.
But apart from that, no, I've been playing Soccer Kit, and I've been on vacation the past week, so I've been playing it on my Steam Deck. And this was finally a reason for me to get that EmuDeck application working. I haven't had that working
well,
before.
Doesn't it?
It's quite easy to get working, actually. You just need to place the right ROMs and right BIOS images in the right place, and everything works. And then now I've got Amiga working there as well, and that's a brilliant, brilliant way of playing these games. And I found that, I think you talked about at some point on another episode, that you find it hard to play these old, like Amiga and C64 and all these 8 and 16-bit computer games with a pad. But you can play them with the analog stick, actually. There's just an option in RetroArch. You can go in and tell it to emulate a stick on the, like the left or right analog. And that works for me, actually.
Yeah. It's just not the same.
It's not the same as having a SIP stick in your hand, of course, but it's close enough for me. It works.
But with the dock now, I mean, when you get your dock, I mean, obviously, if you can't do it in handheld mode, not easily anyway. You could do it in handheld mode, but it would kind of defeat the object. But if you have it docked onto the TV, you can then plug in your USB Competition Pro or whatever you've got into the dock and. That works. That would work really well.
So I still haven't gotten my mail from Gabe saying that I can order a dock, but here's hoping.
Do you need one?
Yeah, I went into the Steam store and pre-ordered it in the same way as I did with the Steam Deck itself. So I should receive a mail as soon as they're available, I guess.
Do you follow the Pixel? You're not a big user of Facebook, are you?
Nope, not at all.
So on Facebook, there's this account called Pixel Deck.
Okay.
And if you Google it, I think they've got a Patreon page as well, where you probably can get their stuff through there if you're a patron as well. I'm not a patron yet, but I'm about to become one because this is brilliant, mate. They basically test mainly modern games on the Steam Deck, and they tell you the optimal Steam Deck graphic settings for them.
Okay.
Which probably isn't terribly exciting for what we've just been talking about, but that's where I found them, because I was just browsing through Steam Deck content and I came across their stuff. They were saying, I was reading today, that they tested this other dock called I think it's iVolver, so I as in the letter I, Volver, V-O-L-V-E-R, I think that's what it was called.
Okay.
So they've been testing all these different kinds of docks, and they tested this one, and it made them send back their official Steam Deck dock.
Okay.
Because capability-wise and ease of use. Because I said to you, didn't I, that I found the dock is fine once it's set up, but it does some really weird things, particularly with when you try and... It does some really weird things, and there's times when you have to undock it to do things. And it... Yeah, I mean, it's not very... I don't find it very elegant to use. I mean, once you get it set up, it works. But they were saying that this dock, this iVolver dock, was so good that it immediately just makes the official one redundant. It's about the same price, but it's got a cooling thing in there as well.
Yeah.
Because the Steam Deck gets quite hot, doesn't it?
Okay.
Don't know, you found that. I mean, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Revelations on it quite a lot over the past 10 days or so. And it's brilliant and it looks great, but the Steam Deck does get really hot. This has got like a cooling unit built into the dock, which keeps it cool, which is a nice little feature.
Yeah, okay.
But if you, I would check it out if you're struggling to get hold of an official one.
Yeah, I'll give it a look.
Looks really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually,
I've just downloaded it.
Speaking of modern gaming as well, I've finally maybe seen the light in getting something like the PS5 VR setup, because I was battling for 30 minutes, 45 minutes trying to get Half-Life Alyx to work on my daughter's really, really beefy PC with an RTX 3070 graphics card and the Oculus Quest 2 headset. With no luck. I mean, it froze up. It was buggy. It was laggy. It even said that we didn't have enough GPU memory on that huge GPU. So in the end, I gave up. I didn't actually make it work. So that's...
So presumably, your computer exceeds the recommended settings for the game?
Hugely.
The hardware?
Hugely. I mean, it's a brand new PC with a huge GPU. So I've got no idea.
It's weird.
But the headache of actually getting Steam Link to work properly on the new Quest, the Quest 2, for me is just too annoying. I want a console experience, I think. I'm done with the PC thing.
This is just a today thing, guys. Mads will have changed his tune.
Yes.
Yes, tomorrow.
And don't tell Jim and Andy.
No, they'll laugh at you for saying that. I mean, that's what PSVR does have is, I mean, it does lots of plugs before you can play. On the PSVR 1, it's about 7 different leads and 7 different things you've got to plug in.
Okay.
So once you've plugged multiple things, it is... But you can't play Half-Life Alyx, of course, on the PSVR.
No, that's true. And that is actually the only game I want to play in VR, so... Oh, well.
Yeah, although you would like Eric Chahi's Paper Beast.
Okay. I never knew Chahi did one, did a VR game. Cool.
Yeah, he did... I think it's Eric Chahi. If it's not Eric Chahi, it's someone who you really like.
Okay.
I think that's out. I'm sure that's out on the Quest as well, but Paper Beast is one that you should definitely try.
Okay.
And kind of like a puzzle adventure experience kind of thing.
Mm. Okay.
So you're going to be first in the queue then for the PSVR 2, eh?
No, I'm not, because I don't want to spend any more money. I don't really use VR anyway. I'm just sad that it doesn't work properly. But I'll go to Google tomorrow, see if I can find a solution for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck. Should we get into this shortlisting then, mate? This is what people are here for, of course.
Yes.
People be telling us off for all this waffle.
Yes. So next month, we will be playing a C64 game. So the.
And why is that, mate?
Well, because of the anniversary, of course.
40 years, man.
40 years, yes. 40 years of... the best computer ever made. It's beautiful.
Make you feel old?
No. I feel old for lots of other
reasons.
Other
things make you feel old.
No, I am old, so no worries there. No, that's a huge, huge anniversary, and of course we needed to mark that, so it was your suggestion that we play a C64 game for November.
Yeah, well, it was actually suggested by a few of the Discord members, actually, and we just a message to John V. We hear you, John. We know it's Atari's 50th anniversary. Mm. Just, you know, we've still got a month left after November. It's okay.
Hang in there.
We do hear you.
But because we've been playing a few C64 games on the Game Club before, and it's always been you and I picking the games, so we thought we'd do something different this time. So that's why we introduced ourselves as Steve and Matt, because Steve and Matt have been picking our long lists. The candidates for our long lists. They've each picked 4 games, and we will represent those games for them, and we'll whittle down the list to the usual 4 candidates, right?
I think they're the proper CC. I know you're a C64 fanboy as well, but you're, to my mind, you are far more broad-minded about these things than... Matt and Steve will die on a hill, won't they, for the C64. I mean, they will.
Yes.
They'd be standing there waving their flags. The last man standing for the C64, absolutely. So we thought, well, they're well-placed to give us their favourite games.
Definitely. And there will be some games here that you know very well and you've heard them talk about many, many times before. But now we'll get to dive into one of them for an entire month. And maybe we can even entice Steve and Matt to play along.
Who knows? You never know. How should we do this? Should we just read the list and then we'll each kind of give our opinions on them before we start to whittle down?
Sure, mate. I've got Steve's list here, so I'll represent Steve. You can be Matt.
Okay.
Should we go
In your best Scouse accent, then, what are your 4?
No, I'm not going to try that. Not at all. No, of course, seeing as this is Steve, the first game he picked was Green Beret. I mean, he can't not pick that game, of course. It's he played it recently, the arcade version, didn't he? And got quite good
to finish
it. Yeah, so he'll definitely be interested in diving proper into the C64 version, I think. So, a great game. A game I played a lot back in the day. I never finished because it was quite hard, I found at least. So, be a good game for a challenge. I forget whether there is a score on the C64 version, but I can't see why there wouldn't be. So, it'd be good for a high school challenge as well. Oh, and for those few listeners who don't know what Green Beret is, it's a side-scrolling platformer, action platformer, where you are the soldier that needs to kill all of the other soldiers without being hit yourself and just get from one end of one side of the screen to the other side of the screen, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not. So I played the specy version quite a lot back in the day, which...
So was that flick screen?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I can't remember it scrolling.
You really wouldn't want to play a game like this flick screen, would you?
It's not brilliant on the specy.
No, it's even worse on the CPC, isn't it?
Because you guys did the... There was an 8-bit wars on Green Beret, wasn't there? Trying to remember what Dean tried to say to... Anyway, we're not talking about the specy. It's a very good port on the C64.
It is indeed. It
doesn't look great, particularly that loading screen.
Everything looks great on the C64, mate. You just...
It's not, mate. It's very brown and it looks pretty ugly, but it plays really well.
It does.
I think that's well and truly established, isn't it? It plays really well. Do you know, I've not really spent that much time with the arcade version. I would, like always when we do these ports, gives you the opportunity also to go and dive into the arcade game as well.
So I'm just looking at screenshots from the C64 version. It looks brilliant. What do you mean?
No, it doesn't, mate.
It does. It looks really good. Listeners, don't listen to this heretic. Green Beret on the C64 is a beauty. It'll be good.
The sprites are terrible, but it's not.
It's an 8-bit sprite. More about...
Let's not do this. Put it side by side by the specy version, and then you'll see what a good 8-bit port looks like. Although, clearly... And it's well established the C64 version is probably the best of all three of the main European versions anyway.
Yes, let's not go into the whole sprites on the specy versus sprites on the C64 discussion, because you'll never convince me those outlines of sprites aren't sprites. They're just a kid drawing
good,
crayons in horrible colours on black background. No.
Page and Dean Swain, let's get the specy police in here. Come on. Yes. Let's sort this fella out.
Moving along. Matt, what's your first game?
Yeah, just before we move on from Green Beret, what do you think of that as a high score game then? Do you think it could be, or is it more of a just how far can you get on one credit kind of thing?
Definitely a high score game. There is a score, as there is in the arcade game, and it's a quick pick up and play, and at least for me, it won't last for very, very many minutes, so it's easy to get a score in. It's really hard to play. Yeah. So, I'd love to try this.
Okay.
Remember the month where we started playing Metal Slug 3, and in the beginning, most of us would die on the first level, and after a while, I think you, me, and Andy, actually, we went a long way. It'll be like 20-minute play sessions, but 15, 20 minutes at most still. That's good for
it. It's only got three levels, hasn't it?
Yeah, three. I think Andy maybe even got to the beginning of the fourth, didn't he?
No, not Metal Slug, Green Beret.
Ah, sorry. I forget how many levels there are. I think you're right.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, at the start of the month, it feels impossible. You'll never get past the first level. And then before you know it, a couple of weeks in, you're striving to get onto that last level or something like that. Yeah. Okay, so it would work as a high school chase, you reckon, a high school challenge in Discord?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That gives it a different dimension, doesn't it, I think?
Mm.
Okay, then, so I'm Matt here, the good-looking one of the pod, the pin-up. I'm going to go with one of Matt's favourite games. He's spoken about this game many, many times. And that's Iridium.
Yes.
Iridium. He loves this game, and 1986 game from Houston, of course.
Braybrook classic.
And Andrew Braybrook classic. I must say I struggle with Iridium. I always have done, and it may well be because I've just never really spent the time. I find it really difficult, the going backwards and forwards, and I just find it really hard. Hasn't been a Game Club game in the past, has it?
No, but we definitely played it for other episodes. Yeah.
Did we cover it on the last 8-bit wars that we did when we did that genre thing? Did Matt choose it then?
Yeah, could have then.
I think he might have done. Yeah, I'm just trying to wonder when I played it. And I remember I ended up getting to level 2. I got to level 2 once.
Yeah.
But it's a game that I struggle with. Again, it's not a great looking game, is it? Iridium. But it doesn't matter because it moves brilliantly.
It scrolls quickly, and you need to be very, very quick with the controls. And I can see why a specky boy would be confused with the whole, the part about it being scrolling and fast as well. It'd be hard for a specky boy to do.
I find it really. But maybe there is something in that. You know, maybe my maybe my specky brain is just can't really see what's going on. I find that I don't really know what's going on. Mm. That's the problem, and it's probably me not really understanding the game. So perhaps playing it for a month will let me see what. Clearly, many, many people got 94% in Zap 64.
So yeah, yeah. It is a feat. I mean, the speed at which it moves and controls, it is definitely a programming feat. I have to be completely honest, I don't enjoy it as well. It's too fast and too frantic and too hard to figure out what's going on. But you as you see.
Really, like you're dead before you know what's coming up, don't you? I mean, you just...
That's how I feel as well. But as you say, having a month to dive into it might be a good thing, because a lot of people praise this and say that this is the standard for shoot-em-ups on the C64. I've never seen the light there, so maybe diving in for a month would be good.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe there must be something there, mustn't there?
Yeah. But most likely, if I play this on original hardware, I'll end up breaking my SIP stick.
Don't do that, mate. They're expensive to replace now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so to me, Steve.
What's next? The fake Scouser of the team. What's next?
The plastic Scouser. That'll be me.
The plastic Scouser, yeah.
So the next game that Steve picked was Bruce Lee. Another classic, of course. Everybody knows Bruce Lee on the C64 or the CPC or the Specky. We played that one, actually, for an 8-bit Wars episode at some point as well. I seem to recall I really liked the CPC version. That's a bit more colorful than the C64 and controls just as well. But back to the C64. The C64 version is really, really good. Looks good, plays good. I have one small problem with it, and that is I've played too much, so I can finish it in about 12 to 15 minutes. But it's I'm guessing, I forget whether it gets harder on the extra loops. I think it does. So there would be a challenge there, seeing if I could loop it twice. That'd be good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not going to keep you going for very long, though, is it? I don't think.
It could be.
It would be a fun game to talk about, though. I mean, I have reservations about this, and I've not played it that much, but...
Yeah. Okay.
I don't find it terribly difficult. It's another fabulous looking game on the C64, of course. But again, it plays well and very satisfying, flying kicking your way across the screen, isn't it? But
yes,
yeah, I do worry how much is there. Maybe it's an excuse to dive into some of the, because I think it has had a few remakes, hasn't it, and various homebrew things going on with it over the years.
Yeah, it could be. I've never followed that actually.
Maybe I often see there's often things pop up on Indie Retro News about Bruce Lee, various remakes and reduxes of it. So maybe that's something that we could dive into as well. If it makes a shortlist and it gets chosen,
yeah,
I think we would need to find some depth there just to keep us going.
Yes,
for the
yes.
month.
I think you may be right. Yep.
Okay, so my next game is. One that has always intrigued me, but I've never spent too much time with its creatures.
Yes.
A relatively late C64 game in and of itself. It's 1990.
Mm.
The Rolands brothers, John and Steve Rolands, did this. John was on the coding and Steve on the music and the graphics. A 1990 game that got a sequel in 1992, of course.
Yep.
And then possibly even a later spiritual successor in Mayhem in Monsterland, which is a game that we did cover, feels like 2 or 3 months ago, but was probably more like 2 or 3 years ago now.
Yes.
A really great game, one that Dean and I, we were on that one, and we really got into that in the end over the course of a month. Feels like a game that does have some substance and could serve as a really good game club game. I've only ever dabbled in creatures. I did a segment with Jim Orbit's IT when it was the one of the My Favorite Game sections, and his was Creatures 2 on the C64, which made me play that. And I know Creatures is very different to Creatures 2, very different style of game. Creatures, I think, is a more traditional platform game. But this actually, to give, you know, I've been hitting on the C64's graphics capabilities a little bit. This game actually does look absolutely fantastic. What a technical showcase this is. I mean, they even exceeded themselves later, but this is a wonderful looking and sounding game. And with the torture screens and some of the controversy, and I think it could be a really fun game, actually, to dive into for a month. What's your experience with this one, mate?
So I've only played it briefly, and I could never really figure out what to do, how to progress. So it'd be good to spend some more time with it. As we've said so many times on this podcast, we had too many games when we were kids on blank cassettes and blank discs. So somehow these games just appeared there. And that meant that if you pick something up and you don't click with it immediately, you don't stick with it. And this was one of those for me.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those, you know, we talk about Soccer Kid and that being a more thoughtful platformer. This, I think, is similar. I mean, maybe not quite the same, but in terms of, right, how am I going to get through this screen and how am I going to get through this part and take your time and think it through?
Yeah.
I think it could be a really good one.
I'm also wondering, since it was so late, I mean, most of us would have gone on to the Amiga at this point in time.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of people haven't played this, so it'd be good to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very famous game, of course, and I'm sure a lot of people who are retro gamers, you know, when you think of the C64, I imagine it's one of those that you're well covered in the likes of Retro Game. I imagine it's one of those that people do go back to.
Yeah, could
but
be.
I wonder how many people have actually ever really played it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than do the whole, oh, let's boot up Creatures, I remember that from the C64 or read about that.
Mm.
I wonder how many people have really played it.
Yeah.
Of course, if it was to make the choice, we'll be diving deep. I reckon it'll stack up. Looks good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
What's next, Steve-o?
So the next one from Steve was also Eurydium, like Matt chose, but he replaced that with another game. Another game that is definitely just as good as Eurydium, maybe some would say even better. It's none other than Action Biker, Steve's old favorite. So of course, Action Biker needed to be there on a list from Steve. And he'd definitely like to see us all play that religiously for a month. So if you don't know, Action Biker is the greatest game ever released on the C64, if you ask Steve. I have an original copy, actually, on tape that I could play for this month. That would be good. Have you ever played Action Biker, mate?
Sadly, and Steve will kill me for this, no.
No?
I haven't.
Ah, this needs to win, then.
Steve will have you believe it's the thing that Grand Theft Auto took...
Yes.
Took its inspiration from.
Yes.
Does that claim stack up?
I don't think I'll put my name to that claim as well.
No, I've never played it. Mastertronic game, wasn't it?
Yes.
I don't really know what to say about what can we say that hasn't been said over the years about Action Biker.
Action Biker. Well, I don't really know. It's like you drive around on your bike. You can do jumps. You can do everything is viewed from like an isometric view, and it's think Paperboy, only worse, with lots of open world madness, running around doing everything or nothing, whatever you choose. It's
and what's his name, the main character? Is it Crazy Colin or
Crazy Colin? No, Clumsy Colin, right?
Clumsy Colin.
Yes.
Yeah, with the very strange product placement with skips.
Yes.
There we go, eh? It's a thing and it's on the list.
It needed to be there, of course.
It does. Remember, we're not talking here about the best. We are not stating that these are the best C64 games. These are Matt's and Steve's 4, or as in Steve's case, 5, favourite C64 games. Telling, hey, that the only one that they had crossed over, which is surprising really, given, you know, both from the UK, both have experienced these games in the same way. The only one that they shared was Eurydium.
Yeah, true.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to move on with Matt's game now. Little surprising, maybe, given you know all the thousands and thousands of C64 games he could have chose. And this just shows that you know what is our favourite is very much in nostalgia and what you experience. So he chose Rambo, which, depending on which what you read, is either just Rambo or it's Rambo First Blood Part 2. I'm going to assume that he was meaning to choose Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, definitely.
And go with that one. If it wasn't Matt, then sorry. It's not... I've never played it. And
still you say that you find it surprising that he chooses it? I mean, this is...
Well, only...
Brilliant, brilliant game. I loved playing this back in the day.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's really good, actually.
Because I was reading a couple of reviews earlier, and it doesn't sound great.
Mm, but it is.
Yeah, but it is.
It is. Yeah. I have rose tinted glasses on when thinking about this game. But yeah, I know it only got a 65, as you said, in SAP 64. But looking at Lemon 64, that has listener or reader reviews, it's an 8 out of 10. It seems. So
what is it? Is it a sort of commandos like? Is it sort of down top?
It's an Ikari Warriors kind of game, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, one of the things they said in Zap is that there just isn't much gain there. You know, it's very impressive from a technical point of view.
But you can say really the same about the Ikari Warriors, which we played to death on the CPC and loved. And how many times did we loop it? That was so good.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, although that is a brilliant port of that game on the CPC. Yeah.
It'd be fun to see if this is just as good or if it's not there at all. I would be surprised if it wasn't just as good as Ikari Warriors on the CPC because that's how it is in my memory, but it might be horrible compared to that.
This is just, I mean, looking at the screenshots, and I have to confess, I've never played it, so I am just looking at the screenshots. This is the definition of a C64 game, though, isn't it? Looking at the stills.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful, mate.
It's brown. Literally.
That's brown. That's the ground he's walking on. Do you see all of the greens? All the greens?
What, the trees?
Yes, lots of green.
And the brown trunks.
And brown trunks, yes. Do you know trees, Chris?
I believe the music's really good, though. It's Martin Galway, isn't it? Mm. It's an ocean published game. Yeah, look, you know, who knows? Matt obviously likes it. You think it's good?
Yeah.
I take one look at it and think, okay, doesn't look like my kind of thing. But I was really worried when Ikari Warriors was chosen, and I loved that game. Yeah, I really got into that. Mm-hmm. I think I won the high score challenge, but didn't win. I was second. I really got into that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I have worries about whether there's enough substance there for a month, but. You know, we do tend to eat these things out, don't we, with high score challenges and whatnot. So who knows?
There we go,
Rambo. Yeah. It's on the list.
Definitely. And the final game from Steve is none other than Whistball, Sensible Software's masterpiece on the C64, if you ask a lot of people. This is famously one of those games. I'm a huge, huge Sensible Software fan. I've played pretty much all of their games. And I have played Whistball as well. I love WhizKid on the Amiga. But I have never actually figured out how to play Whistball. Whistball is a game that famously completely morphs into something else quite early on in the game. You start as this ball that's jumping around. And that is so hard for me to control that ball. And with that ball jumping around and the inertia there, you need to do a few things, pick up a few things, and then it turns into a shooter really instead. And I've never gotten to that part. Never.
Dear me.
So I would love to finally get the chance to probably get into Whistball. So this is definitely a game I would have picked myself for a deep dive of a C64 game. And it's known as a classic. A lot of people love and praise Whistball on the C64. So we should get to know this, I think.
Yeah. I feel, you know, pretty much the same. This we did when we did the Sensible Software month, and we ended up playing Sensible Soccer. Whistball came very close then, didn't it? To to making the cut. I think that
and just
we
consider
should.
How much more fun it would have been to play Whistball than Sensible
Soccer. Well, many of us enjoyed Sensible Soccer, mate. Many of us did. It would have been a very different experience. And like you, I've only ever had a brief look at Whistball, and I hear the whole range of opinions. I think Paul Monahan famously, he'll tell you if you ask him about it that he hates this game. Steve would tell him he doesn't understand it, you know, and Steve is constantly saying, you know, people who don't like Whistball just don't understand it, or they've not tried hard enough. If you speak to people who know what they're talking about, will tell you that Whistball is a masterpiece.
Yeah. So going back to SAP 64, they gave it a 96%.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they were guys that would have tried and would have got beyond that initial wall.
Hmm.
And a lot of people say it's the best Sensible never really got, although they had some classics in the 16-bit area. Some people would say that this is as good as it got.
Yeah.
So I think it, like you, it's a game that feels like it's in my black hole. I really should know it more, and I should understand it.
This is definitely one of the old, I mean, real Sensible Software games, because this is done by Chris and John. I mean, coded by Chris Yates, and graphics and stuff by, I guess, design as well by John Hare. So two-man tag team, yeah.
And it got that pretty funky sequel on the Amiga as well, didn't it?
WizKid, I love that WizKid, yes.
Very different.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's never really had much air time other than, you know, the odd conversation WizKid on RA, I don't think.
No.
Sorry, Whizball, not WizKid. So I definitely think we ought to it ought to get some air time. It's a strong contender, this one.
Mm. Cool.
Definitely.
So final game from you, Matt.
Yeah, so Matt's final game was Andrew Braybrook again coming back. A second Andrew Braybrook game on this list, and a second from Matt. It's Paradroid.
Mm, yes.
So another game widely regarded as a masterpiece.
Yeah, we've got some heavy hitters here. So that actually even beats Whizball on the SAP 64 score. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's got a
97. 97%. Mm. And again, a game that I have played a couple of times and thought, this looks really interesting, but in a world of when we were growing up, I didn't have a C64 when we were growing up, as I've said, I was a specky kid, and I never played. Is it Paradroid 90 on the Amiga? I don't know if it's a sequel or a remake or a bit of both.
Never played it on the Amiga, I think.
Anyway, there is an Amiga version of it that I had but never played because it didn't look like what I wanted an Amiga game to look like, and I was a fool and I was young and I should have done, because I think I would have liked it then and I think I would love it now. It feels like a game that I really ought to spend some time with, a hybrid of a shoot 'em up and a strategy game where a real thinking person's game. This feels like the kind of game that I would really, really like. And I was really pleased when I seen it come up on the list, because if I was to choose a list of C64 games that I wanted to spend some time with, this, Whizball, The Sentinel would have been 3 out of 4. So I'm very pleased that it...
A thinking person's game, and yet Matt chose it. That's...
Well, I'm not saying anything, mate. You've just said that. Yeah, I'm not saying anything. Matt is obviously, he's like an onion, Matt. There's just layers and layers to him. So it's a Stone Cold classic that I'm sure most people will have played. But again, I wonder how many people have really, really played it.
Mm.
And hopefully, if it gets chosen, we'll get a good few people really diving deep on it and going far into the game. One that I'd definitely like to spend some time with.
Yeah, yeah. All good, mate. Go. So we got all 8 games. So I, Steve, have Green Beret, Bruce Lee, Action Biker, and Whistball. And Matt, you have?
And I have, Matt has, I, Chris, Chris Matt has Iridium, Creatures, Rambo, and Paradroid.
Mm, just one list.
Oh, I ought to say about just one little extra note on Rambo. Matt did... He put a bit of flavour text into his post, didn't he, when he sent us the list. He says it might not be the best, but but it was the game that made me stand up and take note as a specky player, not owner.
Mm.
What does he mean by that?
Probably that he
is
played...
Is he talking about the specky version?
I guess. Played the specky game.
Did he read our thing wrong? Well, clearly not, because the creatures didn't come out on the specky, so
nope.
Clearly not.
Nope.
Yeah, there we cool. go. So, do you want to go first, mate, of taking out one of mine?
Yes, I will indeed. So you've got a really strong list. I think we both have, but there are maybe some games on my list that are more obvious to pick off than others.
There's some low-hanging fruit for both of us here, I think.
You think? So you might be surprised, mate. So. You might be surprised.
Don't do anything silly now.
No. I'm going to start by... this is actually really tough, because I can see myself playing four of these games. One of them for nostalgia reasons, and the other three because they're supposedly really, really good games.
Let's throw nostalgia out the window.
No, let's not. This is the retro asylum, isn't it? We're powered by nostalgia. I'm going to eliminate Iridium, mainly because I've tried it before. I've tried picking it up, tried to get into it, and I didn't click with it. And I think I will break my SIP stick if I put this on my C64 for an entire month. It's too frustrating for me. So sorry, this is not going to be the time where I learn how to play Iridium. Also, I think I may just be getting too old. I mean, it's too fast scrolling. I'm 45 next month. It's not going to work.
Yeah. I think it's... I think it, my specky brain applauds you.
That's good.
Good choice, mate. Right, so for me then, I think I've got a couple here which I think... I feel quite strongly that this needs to be the first one to go.
Are you saying our Steve doesn't pick good games?
Oh, Steve does pick good games. In fact, I think all of these have the... I think all of these have their qualities. But for me, Green Beret... And Steve's only chosen this because he's good at it. Hasn't he, really?
A Green Beret is good,
the only reason he's chosen
it. I like it.
I like Green Beret. On the specky. Even though it's not very good. And I would like to spend more time with the arcade version. I'm just not sure. I think my eyes would bleed if I looked at the C64 version for all that time in November.
It looks good.
I don't think I could inflict it upon my lovely CRT TV. So I'm going to ditch Green Beret. With apologies to Steve, because I know he's good at it. I know he likes it.
That's a bad choice. Yeah. Bad choice, mate.
Green Beret has gone.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I've got to pick off either Creatures, Rambo, or Paradroid. And this is going to be tough. So I really like Paradroid. It's one of those games that I actually didn't understand back in the day, but picked it up a few years ago and got into it and really enjoy, but I've never finished. So that would be good fun. Creatures is probably, it came out too late. Maybe that's why I haven't really played it. I remember just trying it briefly, not understanding it, and going on to the next thing. But I've never, I mean, I would have switched to the Amiga around that time. Rambo is brilliant. In my mind. I've got no idea how it plays. I haven't played it for maybe 15,
you've had a lot of sleeps in the last 30-something years.
Yes, but in my mind, that end of Rambo loading music on the screen, it's just good. It's just good. And all those pecs. I mean, the pecs, mate.
The pecs. Jeez.
I don't know.
Look at the pecs on that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to keep Rambo. For nostalgia reasons.
Oh, God. And
so the choice is between Creatures and Paradroid.
Oh, mate, you can't drop one of them in favour of Rambo, surely.
Easily. Watch me. I
am very sorry, listeners, about this.
Yes, I'm not. I will be eliminating... Damn it, this is tough. Paradroid.
He's gone and done it.
No Paradroid for me this month.
I'm not playing. I'm going on strike.
But we have to play Rambo, mate.
I'm stressed now. Mm. Vexed. I'm vexed about that decision. So what's left of Matt then? We've got creatures and
nope.
And Rambo. Well, you see...
Creatures and Rambo, yes.
We are nothing if we're not unpredictable.
Yep.
Are we? You can never guess what's going to come out of these episodes. I can never guess.
So I actually thought episodes. We would have Green Beret on the final list, but you surprised me there, so...
There we go. Hmm. So what have I still got to say? My brain's gone a little bit after
Bruce
that.
Lee,
so I've got
or Action Bike or Whizball.
Or Whizball. I'm tempted to get rid of Whizball after that, just out of spite, but I wouldn't do that because I'd be cutting my own nose off. Look, Whizball's going to go through to the final four. Hmm.
Good choice.
So it's a question of Bruce Lee or Action Biker. And this is a difficult choice because I don't really fancy either of them, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, Bruce Lee seems like a really playable game, but just not sure there's enough there. Action Biker, man. Action Biker. If ever a game was synonymous with Retro Asylum, it feels like it's Action Biker, doesn't it? It's the game that if people meet Steve, it's one of... Yeah, it's almost like if you're having a conversation with Neil Armstrong, how long would it take you to ask him about the moon? Similar with Steve. If you're talking to Steve, how long would it take to mention Action Biker?
Hmm.
So I feel like we're probably never going to be here again with Action Biker as part of a long list, I feel. Because I can't imagine a theme in which it would ever come up again.
No, best Mastertronic game, perhaps. Yes.
Yeah, but mate, if we were doing a Mastertronic themed episode, we would not have Action Biker in our long list, would we? Because there's dozens of games that we'd choose ahead of it.
Mm.
And we're never letting Steve and Matt near this game club choosing ever again. So Action Biker is... This is its moment in the sun. It's its time to shine. So let's see what the people think of. Let's see what our listeners think, really, of Action Biker. So let's put it forward. So I'm going to choose to eliminate... what game am I choosing to eliminate?
Bruce Lee.
What's Bruce Lee. Yes. That's the one.
Yes. Damn, that was really surprising whittling down of the long list here. We ended up with Action Biker, Whizball, and Creatures and Rambo. That was not the list I thought we were going out with.
Well, at least we've got a couple of good games on there, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got Rambo with at least, so that's good.
But Rambo. Mm. Yeah. You know, people are going to play with us here, aren't they? I dread to think what's going to be chosen.
we have complete masterpieces like Whizball and Creatures, and people will vote Action Biker just to spite us.
Well, we got a masterpiece that hasn't even made the shortlist.
Yes,
Mads.
Yes. I know, but Rambo was there as well. I mean, what could I do?
What could you do? You had no choice. Your hands were tied.
Exactly.
All I would say to the listeners is do bear in mind that no matter what you may choose when you think it's fun, Mads and I have got to play these games enough to talk for a good couple of hours at the end of the month. So please spare a thought.
Mm.
To us, please. I tell you, if Action Biker wins, there is no way Steve is going to get away with not being on that episode.
No, that's true. And if he doesn't win the high score challenge, I'll be really disappointed.
And he's going to damn well complete that game. He's going to roll the credits.
I don't think I have to
go up to Liverpool and stand over him.
No. Vote Whizball. That'll be my favourite in this one, I think.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, that's what I hope wins too. Mind you, no, Creatures. I mean, I'd take Whizball or Creatures, either of those two.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd be
too.
I'd be pretty pleased with. But yeah, if I could choose
Rambo as well, that'd be good.
Rambo, my God. Maybe, who knows? I might be surprised.
Mm.
There we go, then, mate. There's the four.
Yes.
And we'll see what people do to us, eh?
Mm. Exciting.
Any shout outs before we get out of this place?
Shout outs to Matt and Steve, of course, who helped us pick the list today, and a shout out to Dean, of course, as usual.
It's been really good. It's actually been really good fun, hasn't it? Talking about games that we haven't chosen ourselves, because you don't feel like you have to represent and defend why you've chosen the game. So it's quite nice.
Yeah,
having other people. Maybe it's something we'll do again in the future. I know we kind of did it last month, didn't we, with Sockib, when we just got the Discord community to shout out. And if we do something Atari related next month, we need to think of a way to maybe then we put out a shout for everyone's favorite Atari games from over the years.
Maybe Atari games, for my money at least, a lot of the Atari games wouldn't be something you want to spend an entire month on. Yeah, Adventure would be cool, but
yeah,
and there are
not many 2600 games though.
No, exactly. So maybe we should pick a few. But let's talk to some of the people who actually know a bit more about the 2600 than you and I do. I mean, I've played only like 10, 15 different 2600 games, and I enjoy a lot of them, but none of them, apart from Adventure, that I've played have the depth that the I longevity. Want to spend an entire month on. Hero would be, good.
Something like River Raid as well be fun. But maybe it's time. You know, a lot of people say that we don't give the Atari 8-bit enough love on this podcast. Maybe it's a chance to shine a light on that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway, we'll keep our production meetings for offline.
Yes.
There we go, mate. Until we chat Soccer Kid, I will see you next time.
See you next time, mate. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Dean Alan Swain, podcast host, gamer, truck driver, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all 8-bit computers have. Then, an accidental shock from a wonky power supply alters his body chemistry. And now, when Dean Swain grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Sodding poxy bloody game, it's rubbish!
The creature is annoyed by bad games and pursued by bitter publishers.
Mr. Wilcox, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The creature is mocked for not recording enough episodes per year. Dean Swain is believed to be dead, and he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to record without his family making too much noise in the background.
You lot shut up! I'm trying to record in here!